All right. So you've taken a break, had something to eat, and we're ready to move onward. We hope that you're still a bit disoriented. You are, aren't you? All right. I say, huh? Beautiful crystals here, and selected especially with a certain amount of capacity to accelerate and move energy flow, which we'll get in more about the money flow tomorrow. Very grounding, this one. All right. So, get out your $1 bill. Now, this bill can be any denomination. But we want to point out how magical this country is about money. For those of you who do astrology, this country has the Sun, Venus, and Jupiter in a very broad, very wide, but still effective conjunction, which means the energies of the Sun, which are the power, the radiance, the ego, the identity, with Venus, value, value and money, Jupiter, abundance. So abundance, expansion, plus value, plus identity. It's in the U.S. chart. It's a formula for success. If you put your identity, connect with value and abundance, what are you going to get? If you put your attention on money, you'll get more money. You'll expand your money. You expand the value of your resources. In fact, the time of the signing of the Declaration of Independence was chosen by what you call the Founding Fathers, who were Masons. They were mystics. They're highly educated. They were also aware of astrology. And they're not going to select a day when they're going to make a break with the mother country, where they need a strong personal identity, on a day without some good, juicy conjunctions in there. Some good, juicy aspects. With Jupiter also representing freedom and expansion, Venus representing ideals, aesthetics, and the Sun representing individuality. Using that kind of symbology that day was rather propitious. We're not going to go further on the astrology because there's all sorts of confusions about what time it was actually signed. And we would suggest that they'll never figure that one out, because it was signed over many hours and actually several days following, for those who were unable to attend or came late or whatever. Anyway, look out your bill. Feel this bill. This is what they say. It is legal tender. It is Federal Reserve note, a whisper and a promise for you on a piece of paper. But notice that of all the bills that the United States has, this is probably the most powerful one. If you look on the back side, one, guess where we're all going? To the oneness. Your spiritual journey takes you home to the oneness, to the union, the oneness with the divine. What's really interesting here is there's a pyramid. The pyramid has 13 levels, representing each level representing one of the original states. It is unfinished, indicating that there is a future that is being built. The eye on top of the pyramid, instead of the capstone, there's an eye. This is the eye of Horus, which has been adapted over the centuries. For a while, the Christians decided it was evil eye, but then the Christians adopted it. And once they adopted it, it was okay. They adopted it to symbolize the Trinity as one, all-seeing, all-knowing, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, they didn't want to include the mother in there, so they called her the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Right. The eye of Horus is all-seeing, all-perceiving, all-knowing, all-sensing. It is an eye of protection. This is protecting your money, you know? Your consciousness, your conscious awareness is a tremendous protector for you, because that's when you can catch the snags in your storyline that are reappearing, courtesy of your reality, to bring them to your attention so that you can release them, heal them, and move on. Also, it says underneath there, Novus Ordo Seclorum, which means a new order, a new day follows, unfolds. The order, the day of the Americas begins. For you, it is your time, a new reality follows. You see, it works so beautifully for you. Why not? You know? On top, it's Annuit Septis. This means what you do is favored by the divine. Your project has found favor in the eye of God, who supports your undertaking. What is your undertaking? Your giving to the planet, your giving of yourself, your radiance of who you are. That is your undertaking. That radiance moved into action, your expression, loving, touching, healing, creating, knowing, learning. This undertaking, take on, process is blessed. Automatically, right here, on your money. One of the nice things about it is also that it gives you room to create whatever you want. If you notice, the pyramid is on a bare field. There's nothing in there. It's like, okay, the future is waiting. You put what you want. If you look over on the other side is the Great Seal of the United States, an eagle. The eagle, the one who soars, who flies above, who has the great vision. Right? The eagle is holding in one claw arrows, on the other olives, olive branches. Yes, an olive branch. Meaning powerful, balanced, between war and peace. It means that a visionary, a leader, whether war is necessary or whether peace can be achieved, but there's a balance, an equality there. We would suggest that you can translate for yourself, in a sense, that the arrows referring to focus and dynamic of action. You want to hit your target, don't you? the olive branch, the negotiation and the peace and the harmony between you and your reality, your environment, and those that you are in alliance with. The seal of the great, let's see, the seal says on it, E pluribus unum. We laughed when we saw this before and thought about it because it kind of is our slogan. From many, one. Right? We are a group that speaks as one. But you, as an individual, you're comprised of many parts yourself. Some of these parts within you have conflicts. And it deprives you of your focus, of your dynamic path. So the object here is for you, in order to find your freedom, your power, your love, your safety, trust, you need to create a sense of union within you. That brings incredible freedom, by the way, when you don't have any conflicts going on in your psyche. When you're at peace and in harmony with all the various parts of yourself. Earlier we took your child, your adolescent, your young adult, and some others out of your conflicts. They've been creating a lot of Sturm und Drang, a lot of stress in there. They're out. To the extent that you can let them go and remain gone and be happy in their own space, the extent you can feel free from some of the storylines that they created for you. So here you have a metaphysical instrument. It has all the symbols of magic on it. You can do money magic with a $1 bill. It's got it all ready for you. If you can take it with this meaning, you can start to unravel, unfold, and dismantle the charge, the significance, the heaviness, the reality that you've given money. And allow it to be like a magical symbol. You can allow it to be a mystery that just comes at your call. Something that's there for you, to support you, to be with you. Now, take your bill and just rub it. Just rub it a little bit. Notice how you feel rubbing money. There was some psychological test that they did on some people, and they had them rub money on it. It lifts them, makes them feel better. Just feel how nice that feels. Money. Rub, rub, rub. It's an actual authentic experiment, and we thought that was kind of cute. Because most of the time, you're disconnected from money. And sometimes you need to ground in connection, and you don't know what to connect to. So you give people an actual bill to rob, and people for temporarily are in the present and feeling some kind of connection. Anytime you're in the present and connected, you're going to feel good. Anytime you don't like the present, you're worried about the future, or you're feeling bad about the past, you can't be connected. You can't get a flow going. You can't get your channel of money going either. We're going to get more into the channels tomorrow. But what we would suggest is between now and tomorrow that you see this as that blank check, as that draft, as that amount of money that you want. And when you leave, you treat it as such, as if it really were a blank check made out to you, a bank draft on a legitimate bank, all right. Not a fantasy bank. Imagine a legitimate bank, you know. Now, you're not going to just put this dollar bill in with all your other money. It's not just a dollar bill anymore. What you symbolized money to be, it is. There's that story of Jim Carrey, who wrote a check for $1 million to himself and hid it in his wallet. He dated it, made it to himself, signed it by himself, folded it, put it in his wallet. And he dated it, actually, for a year hence, for a year in the future. It was during that year he hit it big. And a year later, he pulled the check out, and he had $1 million in the bank. He had it as part of his vision, as his dream. And we would suggest that you put it in a special place so it doesn't get lost with other things. And imagine as you go about your evening, maybe you go to dinner or whatever you do, imagine that this is real stuff. And if it were real stuff, how would you feel carrying this much money around? If it were a bank draft, you know that somebody could probably, if they had their little grubby hands on it, could probably somehow scam some bank for you and take it away. Or if it were still in cash form. Uh-oh. So how do you feel about carrying that much money around with you? Just play with it. Just sense it. Put together your future, what you would do with this money. But don't just treat it casually. And when you go to bed tonight, before you go to sleep, rub it again. And think about the magic of it. Think about the mystical symbols that are there for you with money. And let yourself sleep feeling that you have that wealth, that is yours, that you're just carrying it around with you. What would it feel like if it was felt natural to carry that much money around with you all the time? What would it feel like that you lived with this type of abundance every moment of your life and you could wake up in the morning just assuming that it was there, just expecting it to be there? And let yourself realize how you are looking at, approaching a large amount of money. And we encourage you to make it a large amount, you know. $5 just doesn't cut it, right? You got to go a little bigger than that, dear ones, right? So imagine your life with that money. What would you do? And then we'll have some more adventures with this money tomorrow. For now, what we would like to do is turn our attention to that which seems to be the most difficult, resistant place to your receiving and to your magic. We've brought it up already several times. You already know what we're talking about. That's that inner slave driver. We want to bust it, fire it, retire it happily, to be done with it, to really be clear of it. But it has tentacles in your daily life. It is intertwined with the old storyline, with the beliefs, and integrated with the old dreams that you had once had. People get very attached to their dreams. There are people who are in their 50s still trying to achieve the dreams they dreamed at 27. The forms, rather, the manifestation forms. Still dreaming of getting that perfect relationship, that fabulous, successful career. Finally, the respect that they've always wanted. Finally, the power, the freedom they've always wanted, because they have the money, because they have the form. They have the right house, the right job, the right lifestyle. Yes, they made it. And if you have dreams from your 20s or early 30s that you still hold on to, those dreams not in intangible or function, but dreams of forms that you think will make you happy, dreams of achievement. If I could achieve or get or have this, that's what I want. Think about what you have thought about as far as money is concerned from your 20s and what dreams you put together with money ideas. Now, many times from your 20s, you dream so big you have no clue how you're going to get the money. It's just assumed that at some point you figure that out. If you have any of those dreams that are still hanging on the back burner waiting for you to get some money together, and then we'll kick in, oh, now you must do this. This is one of the sneaky tricks of the inner slave driver. You don't ever seem to clear your board, your path. It never clears. Because if you were to clear and say, okay, I'm just not going to move towards a goal right now. I'm just going to stay where I am and I'm just going to enjoy myself and my off hours. I'm going to relax and meditate and I'm going to visit with friends and so on. The slave driver gets alarmed. You're not achieving enough. You're not working hard enough. You're not earning enough. Danger. So the slave driver goes back into some old shelves, you know, where you put stuff on your old shelves in your psyche, and they'll pull out some old dreams. Some old lover that you haven't seen in years suddenly shows up, right? And they haven't changed a bit, but they say they have. And you go, oh, wow. Oh, they really, really? You've changed? You've changed? Maybe it's... Or a job opportunity or a investment opportunity. It sounds almost too good to be true. Man, I really would love that. That would make a lot of money for me. Oh, that'd be so great. And you get tempted. So recognize the slave driver is in cahoots with the old reality, who was your teacher taskmaster, to make sure that you learned your lessons. The authority that was going to make you learn your lessons before they would mete out to you a meager amount of money. So many times you get into a project, it looks like it's going to be really prosperous, and you get into it and you get committed and so on, and then the returns are just not where you want them to be. That's the slave driver saying, well, you know, I don't want you to take it too easy. You know, you're not really smart enough, good enough. You haven't earned enough. You haven't deserved enough. And you haven't gotten all your dreams fulfilled. If I were to give you all this money that you think you're going to get or you want to get, you're going to be one lazy SOB. You're just going to hang out on your butt. That cannot happen, says the slave driver. They'll make you feel guilty for being lazy. You're wasting your time. You should be doing something productive. You're behind. You know you got to hurry up. What are you doing? Sitting on your butt, doing nothing. This is frivolous activity. You need to be serious. You need to get going on your life. Come on. You're wasting time. You're getting older. Every minute, you're getting closer to death, for heaven's sakes. Come on, get off that chair, off that sofa. You've got stuff to do. And think of all the world that needs you. You need to get out there and promote causes and march and send emails. Be a mouse warrior. You need to stand up for the forces of light. You need to give love. You need to go out there and give, 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 give. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do that. You lazy thing. You got to get up and do it. Come on. Some of you have even trouble sleeping because the slave driver wakes up in the middle of the night and says, okay, you've slept enough now. So recognize the slave driver is just integrated in your psyche, in the voice of guilt. Then there's a voice of fear. If you don't get up off your butt and keep going, and keep going, and keep going, and keep going until you really achieve something, you're just such a low achiever. Come on. You gotta, don't go to bed until you achieve something today. The sun sets, you're a failure if you haven't achieved enough today. You go, well, I can do some tomorrow. You lazy failure. You didn't get it done today. Keep going. You've got some night hours here. Come on, keep going. The fear one is about if you don't keep going, terrible things will happen. You'll run out of money. You'll never get there. You'll be even behinder than you are. You'll never be able to catch up. You'll be overwhelmed. You'll be stalled out. You'll never get around to getting on your success track. Your house will be piled up with debris and junk. Come on, get to it. You've got to do your filing. You've got to do your cleaning. You've got to get everything done. Everything's got to look right. And if you don't, you'll never get there. You'll fall short. You'll never be loved. You'll never be valued. You'll never feel successful. You'll be too old. You'll be too weak, too sick, unloved, abandoned, lonely, etc., 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 etc. Pretty scary stuff. The threats. The threats the slave driver makes. All to motivate you to keep pushing. To keep pushing with that nose to the grindstone. Everybody should have pretty short noses by now. I mean, should be mere stubs. And if they're not, if your nose is too big, you've been too lazy. So you got to get rid of the slave driver. But you see, if you get rid of the slave driver, and let's put it this way, when you get rid of the slave driver, which is what we're going to do, we're going to get rid of the slave driver together. What are you going to do to motivate yourself? How are you going to get yourself going? How are you going to get going in the morning? What if you don't have the coffee or the tea or the... What is that stuff that is a little shot that you go like that? They advertise... Yeah, the drink, a little Oh, there we go. The guy straightens his tie. I'm ready to do this day. Your fake motivation. What are you going to do? Heck, you know, if you drink enough coffee, you're willing to do anything. You can do all sorts of unpleasant, nasty stuff you hate to do otherwise, because you got all this energy and you're ready to do it. So what if there was nothing to do? What if you weren't motivated to do anything on your own and the slave driver wasn't there to kick ass you? What would you do? How would you get up in the morning? What would get you going to work? What would get you doing stuff? What would get you marketing, selling, promoting, filing papers, doing all the mundane tasks? What would get you to do it? What would motivate you? We've talked about motivation before in our events, because motivation is key. It's critical. If you don't have a motivation that comes from the real you, the truer you, then you're just going to get stuck in the trap like a rat or a squirrel on a wheel and tread water or just spin the wheel and never get anywhere. You'll be stuck with the slave driver. If you want to get someplace, if you want to feel that you're okay and that as a powerful reality creator, you've got some juice, you've got to have motivation. Because it's in motivation that you're able to create your pathway. Your pathway of giving. The one that can be parlayed into money very often. And the one that gives you a sense of the divine expression of you. Or that you have enough of that exploration and creativity, but you have a job that doesn't eat up your life, that you can do for money, and then over here you can explore that until you're ready to make that your major channel of income. No workaholics, please. Slave driver wants you to be a workaholic. That's the ideal. Doesn't want you to sleep. You have to eat fast. No play. Stick to it until you get it. Well, that might have worked with like fourth grade arithmetic, you know. Okay, stick at it and you'll figure this problem out. And get some tutoring. You'll get it. But when it's a whole world, it's a little overwhelming. A little too much. And it'll make you totally scared that if you don't keep plugging, don't keep pushing, you'll never, ever get there. And this is terrifying to people. There's like this big empty void, and they're afraid that if they fall in there, they'll get swallowed up, lost, abandoned, they'll become useless, confused, lost. And there are a lot of people on the planet right now who are confused and lost. Because they hit that hole. They lost their house. They lost their job. Their clients dropped out. They're struggling. They can't work because they're too sick. Whatever it is. There are a lot of people who are lost. Who don't have their motivation. Your motivation is your healer for a tremendous amount of you. Because it's from motivation you get energy. And this is what we want to talk about here. Is what is the replacement to the slave driver? Because we're going to put in the replacement. You've got to have a replacement. The slave driver has taken over. It's been so fully there. But the replacement is your true motivation. When you're motivated and it's clean motivation from yourself, It is so powerful. And you are energized. Think of this, that if there's something you don't want to do, how much more effort it takes and energy it takes for you to do it. And you have to do what you don't want to do, you can get really tired. You can feel drained. It's because you're giving your power away to it. So you deplete, your solar plexus drains out. Your throat chakra could drain out. You're losing power. But what if you get to do something you really, really, really want to do? You're highly motivated, excited, thrilled to do. Have you ever noticed how energy suddenly appears? If you really give yourself permission from the true you to do it. Sometimes a fight with a slave driver will take your energy. That conflict is really huge. But if you can give yourself permission to do something you really, really love to do, like you plan a vacation for a special place you've been wanting to see for years and years and years, and you're going to go with some special friends, and you're just looking forward to it, your energy is just going to build and build and build and build. If you can keep the slave driver out of the way, you will have fabulous energy to move it through, to experience it. That's why it's so important to get the slave driver out of the way and then for you to get positive motivation. There is something in you that you really want to do. It's not that you don't want to do anything. Think about it. If you're having a dream, if I have all this money, I'm going to retire. Okay, what does that mean? You're not going to just sit and be a couch potato. There's something you're going to want to do after a while. You can only do that for a few weeks. That's only for the people who are unconscious and numb. It's a way to numb yourself down, to shut yourself down because the conflict within you is too great. But if you don't have a slave driver, ta-da! You don't have that conflict. You're going to want to do something. What? What are you going to want to do? What is your heart's desire? What is important to you? What is passionate to you? Now, energy comes into your body through the kundalini. Comes into your root. From the etheric and the psychic realms. Through the astral plane, causal plane, etc. It comes to the physical plane, and it enters through your root chakra at the base of your spine. Energy moves up into your second chakra. Your second chakra is a chakra of passion, sexual passion, but any passion that you have. If you're passionately excited about something, the channel was a professional astrologer for many years. She was passionately into it. She would just, when she was doing it, she could hardly contain herself. When she was putting together charts and learning about it, the passion, she could feel the energy flooding her. She was also a musician for a while, and she could feel passion when she played. Second chakra energy, passion. It's divine sex. Your passion of your true self. And we did a whole workshop related around that called Making the Great Leap. So if you find you have issues with your motivation and your second chakra, we would suggest that you work with that workshop. We take you all the way to divine union with your passion. Very important. From there, your passion determines your focus. It determines where you're going to put your energy. And so from there, the energy moves up to third chakra, which is where you create order and structure and plans around doing whatever it is you do. That's where you decide I'm going to do this, then this, then this, and this is my plan. Third chakra. Okay, now if this passion is true to you, you'll be able to put together a beautiful, flexible way related that's your lifestyle, your temperament, your way to do what you want to do. The energy will move up to your heart. And from your heart, it will expand what you're doing. You will love what you're doing. Your life will be thrilling. You will have joy with it. And your passion coming to heart is an aspect of self-love. You're loving your life, you're loving yourself. That's when you begin to be really radiant. People can see it, the fresh glow. Your thymus gland, your immune system gets all pumped up. You feel healthy. If your body is healthy, your skin will look really radiant and beautiful. It moves up to the throat chakra. Throat chakra, yes, is known as expression, but it's the expression of your higher will. And this is you as a spiritual being. You as a spiritual being in choice. These are your higher choices in alignment with your destiny, with your path, with your spiritual awakening, with your journey. And the destiny is to oneness. It's not a form on the physical plane. The destiny is to the ecstasy and the bliss of divine union, where you take over, in a sense, where you actually acknowledge that you are God. You know that you're God. You are divine. You know it. Right now, you are testing the waters on it. Sometimes you know it, kinda. Sometimes you really get it. And then other times it seems to be totally lost. Huh? Me, divine, I don't feel it. But I'm going to claim it anyway. Good for you. Keep at it. The more you claim it, the more it begins to be a present reality for you. Because your identity as a higher level being needs to be activated and energized by your motivation. A great deal of your motivation is to go to your divine self, to become your divine self. And so going through the throat chakra, you must make choices that will put you into alignment with that. And it will align your money, it will align your life, it will align your relationships, it will align everything. Throat chakra. Can't give any power away there. Now, if you give power away in your third chakra to authority or to other people's needs or demands or insistence that you defer, suppress yourself, whatever it is, and you give your power away, the kundalini will just kind of drain out there and you won't get to the heart area. You won't be happy. Or if it does, it's just moderately. Okay? But if you're leaking also in the throat chakra, it can't go any further up, really. It's so weak that you can't even get a good vision going, which is eyebrow chakra. It's your visions. To dream and imagine your future, you won't be able to have a clue where you're going if you give your power away. But if you do bring your power up and acknowledge who you are, your visions open up to greater possibilities than you would in the past ever have considered. Greater number of channels to receive. And then to your crown, where you realize how everything that you are doing, everything you're doing is on the path. Everything. You cannot wander from your path. Your reality as a friend is going to gently correct you. It's going to bring you all sorts of things to play with, to think about. You may think they're distractions because the slave driver is saying, hey, you're getting off track. Many of you were not on your spiritual path when you were in your 20s. So you put the slave driver on for work, for relationships, for things like that. And then you go on your spiritual path and you call the slave driver over. And by golly, you install the slave driver on your spiritual path too. Or you haven't done enough meditation. You haven't done enough processes. You haven't healed yourself enough. Who do you think you are? Got to get to it. You're wounded. Go and heal yourself. Man, know thyself. Man, heal. Physicians, heal thyself. Whatever. And the slave driver can make you go crazy trying to do spiritual stuff. We had a friend we spoke to one time who wanted to get some stuff, realities programmed, busy giving it away and being in fantasy, giving her power away and being in fantasy. So what she decided to do is build a crystal grid for it to program the reality she wanted. And when she talked to us, she said, I'm building crystal grids for it. And we said, more than one? She says, oh, I must have over 100 in my house. And we're like, over 100? You think you need that many to make a manifestation work? That means a tremendous lack of trust, a lack of energy. Your energy didn't make it up. When the energy gets to your crown, you can see so much more. You can get so much more manifestation. Because you're allowing yourself, once your energy's up there to the crown, it connects with the divine flow coming in. And it turns around and comes right down through you and energizes you. Your identity must be divine. And the third thing we want to talk about right now is that in conjunction with these two things, it's part of the replacement, is that you need to have a new relationship with your future. Your old relationship with your future was based on your old storyline. Oh, okay, the storyline's going to continue. It's like you make an expectation chart. It's like a stock or something. You can see the stock is moving up. Okay, if the stock moves up pretty regularly, it looks like it'll be up to this point by November. And there's some peak that you imagine and hope for and dream and whatever. And then I'll cash it in right there. But you see, growth like that fantasy is never in a straight line up. You can never project from where you are right now to nail down a future. Because where you are right now, you're perceiving in a linear way as an end point of where you've been. Okay? And so when you chart a projection based on where you are now, you don't just take into account where you are now. You go back into your past and take into account that. And then draw a line from the past through the present to the future. And then you get an idea where you think the future will be. There are people who make livings doing this. Statistics, projections, analyses. There are all these pundits over there telling you what's going to happen. Are they right most of the time? No. They do their best, but they're doing linear projections. The marketplace is not linear. The marketplace is organic. Organic is in waves, spirals, erratic, irregular. Goes with the flux and flow of emotion. They can't program that in. They can't project how the public's going to feel at any particular time. If there's widespread panic, you know the markets are going to come crashing down. People are going to rush to get their money. You can't project on a linear stretch. So your relationship to the future needs to be from where you are right now to a future that you're moving towards, an intangible essence, an energy essence of the future. And in that energy essence is the self that you are becoming, that you're more of than you are now. The divine you, more expressive in your life. And more prosperous, more abundant, more free, powerful, safe, and trusting, and loving. The usual, but just more. And from here to there is a little bit of a wave, like a stair step, kind of. You go up a little bit, pull back, integrate, move forward a little bit more, stretch a little more, pull back and integrate, stretch some more, pull back and integrate, and eventually you get there. But there is a place of your design, of your imagination from here. So a relationship with your future means that from here, you've got to go there. You've got to select where there is. You've got to make that real enough for you to assume that it is probable. And then you've got to go there and juice up. You can juice up from your future. You don't juice up from your past. Have you noticed? That doesn't juice you up at all. And it's hard for you to juice up in the present either. It's the future that juices you. It's a future that plugs right into your second chakra, passion and motivation, and calls you, pulls you, and makes the journey more effortless. And then one more thing we want to cover. We've got a really interesting process for you this afternoon. So many of you, and this is part of your future image, is trying to see how you're going to fit into the world, or the world is going to fit with you. If you're going to have money, how in the world is this going to work? What relationship do you have to all those people out there? To the finance system, to the institutions that run your culture. You've been so busy rebelling against them, resisting them, judging them, putting your nose up at them, being angry at them, filled with rage about them, and doing all sorts of dance around it. You've been losing power to your culture. But that's the way you're raised. You're raised to lose power to your culture. You're taught to lose power, to give it over to your culture, to be a good citizen, to not get into too much trouble, to do your duty and obligation, be a good person. So where do you get your juice? There. Because you've got to have the consensus, which is the physical reality you've created, where the money is. That's where the big money is. Big money is not with beautiful spiritual people. Sorry. You don't have a whole bunch of billionaires amongst the beautiful spiritual people. So you're not going to get a lot of money from them. You're not going to have a fortune come in from people who just appreciate beauty, who love the more refined things of life. You've got to juice up with the power available to you as a spiritual person. You've got to have the energy that the consensus reality normally gives to those it approves of. The consensus reality will give lots of money to somebody who entertains them. They'll give lots of money to people who talk to them about being successful. One of the biggest business areas. And we're kind of enjoying going into this quote-unquote area. It's about talking about money. People are making fortunes, teaching other people about money. Well, that's cool, but can they make the money without teaching people about money? May not. It's the consensus, though, that says, yes, this is valuable. This is valuable. Entertainment is valuable. I need it to compensate for my dreary job. I need it because I'm so stressed out. I want entertainment. I want this. I want that. I need that, this and that and the other. That's what the big money is. You're not going to plug into that particular reservoir. If you do, you'll just be incredible wealthy. But there's plenty of money that's not actually in that reservoir that's milling around all over the place and is available. But you have to have a relationship with your consensus, mainstream reality, with all the people out there, the institutions, your culture, so that your culture will give to you. It enables people to find you people to want to give money to you, for you to be able to be visible, for you to be able to do your work, for you able to someone to give to who will give back to you. For you to get receiving happening, you've got to have a connection. We talked about that actually in the presence and charisma evening. You've got to have connection, or you don't have the giving and receiving. You're not earning the consensus, reality, culture response. You're sending the energy out. It's coming back in. It's like a vacuum. You send it out. There's a vacuum created that has to be filled with energy coming into you. Now, if you don't have that connection yet, or you're building the connection, at first it can seem like you get very depleted in dealing with your culture. Your culture is at odds philosophically, maybe spiritually, with you. You've got to juice up. You've got to receive from the places that work for you. You've got to receive from the forces of nature, because it's your reality. You can receive energy from the walls. You can receive and ceilings. You can see receive energy from the trees. Some of you have. You can receive energy from the rocks. Some of you can receive beautiful energy from the crystals. You can receive energy from anywhere. You can juice yourself up from anywhere. You can receive from anywhere. So then you have more energy to give. It's part of the whole cycle, giving and receiving. You can't just give to a mainstream culture that can't give you back. The flow isn't established. The connection isn't fully there. You've got to get the receiving started to jumpstart, to prime the pump, so to speak, of the giving and receiving. You've got to learn more about receiving. You've got to allow yourself to connect and to receive from the connection. We've been connecting with you. We've been giving you some energy. You can always call on us, connect with us. You know how to imagine it by now. You can call on spirit helpers, on friends, unseen friends. But the forces of nature are grounded in physical materiality. They work to translate the spiritual or the esoteric or the intangible into tangibility. The forces of nature. Now, you know the forces of nature as fire, earth, air, and water. You know it as Mother Earth. You know it as higher self. Some who are in the native tradition may call it father, grandfather, sky, or whatever. Above, below, and the four elements, which are the four directions. It's like a traditional medicine wheel. These are power resources for you, so that you can receive and juice up. While we put together the Subscription to Success series and have our weekly meetings, is so that you can juice up, so you can get yourself juiced up, so that you can give more and then you receive more. If you think, oh gosh, I've got to give more, and you think in terms of earning, you're already tired. No, you want to give more when you have more energy. Note what happens when you have that cup of coffee. You want to go out and do stuff. You're willing to do stuff. Even crap. But you got to juice up. You don't want to beat yourself into it. Coffee is kind of like your physical slave driver saying, okay, let's get these adrenals up and going. These adrenal glands, we're going to squeeze them and push them and get them moving. So you need to have connection with the powers and forces of nature. You can connect with the forces of nature, once again, personified. So that you can feel connection. It's kind of hard for you to connect to an abstract concept and to bring it into tangibility. But you can connect with the four elements as four powerful forms. And then the last thing we want to do today, quite an agenda already, right? We intend to get you thoroughly cleaned out today, but we want to also leave you with some brain work. We're going to do some more brain work, and this brain work is to instigate and activate the formation of new pathways in your brain. We took out a bunch of pathways, and we noticed that some of you are like, huh? Day in a daze? That's okay. You're missing some pathways. And it's like where you normally go in your mind, there's nothing there. Huh? What? I don't know what to do. What do I do next now? Your motivation may just be totally confused. That's okay for just a brief while, but we want to be able to link you up with your own motivation into your brain so that your new, pure, clean motivation is ready and online for you. So that your brain's new pathways will work for you in wonderful ways. Where are we here? We've gone. All right. Well, we can do part of it. We'll do a little bit of it. What would you like to do? Shall we go to the heart of it and get that slave driver out? Yeah. All right, let's do that. So let yourself get comfortable. And get yourself centered and breathe a little bit, comfortable, get your body just right. Close your eyes. Let yourself relax. You've worked so hard for so long. Let it be easy now. Let yourself be easy with yourself. Let yourself love yourself. Appreciate yourself. It's amazing what you have been able to do considering having a slave driver on your back. Normally, a slave driver really slows you down because you fight the slave driver, resist the slave driver, get upset at the slave driver, get scared, go around in little circles. Now, that slave driver knows you're in meditation and you're not doing anything. You're not being useful and productive. So all you have to do is do nothing and it'll show up. It's the way you call. The way you call your slave driver is to do nothing. Be lazy. So let yourself get really lazy. Just so lazy. Just feel as good in your body as you can. Yeah. Just relaxed, lazy, doing nothing. And in your mind's eye, floating in a sky filled with stars. Safe. But let yourself, in this laziness, in this floating, even close your mental eyes. So you don't really see anything, you're just in, you're in a kind of a void, an emptiness, just floating through an emptiness. Just taking it so easy. And suddenly you hear a little voice in your mind. This little voice saying, "What are you doing? Aren't you doing something productive?" You've heard this voice before. There's a lot of things for you to do. Why aren't you doing them? Feel the guilt. Feel how the guilt, when the guilt comes in, you remember how many times that you're sitting around and maybe watching TV or listening to some music and the guilt comes in. It makes you squirm a little bit. Makes you uncomfortable, restless, anxious, antsy. Just feel that starting up. There's some guilt coming in. You haven't done enough. You haven't achieved enough. Something's not right. That feeling. Time's running out. Hurry up. Got to get to it. Time's a-wasting. Feel the squirminess. Feel the guilt. And just feel the guilt. Just feel it. Just sit with it. Just feel it. How bad a person you are if you're not productive enough. If you don't achieve enough. You don't care enough for everybody else. You're not doing more for other people. You're not being spiritual enough. You're not meditating enough. You're not doing enough. Anywhere. You're not making enough money. What are you going to do for your old age? Feel the fear. What if you fail? What if you are this low level of achievement forever, says a slave driver? What if you have to keep that job forever and ever? And you never get to do what you really want to do. Those are all fantasies anyway, says the slave driver. They're not real. You can't trust that. You can't rely on that. You can't rely on your passion. You've got to make sure you're secure. What are you doing? You're not doing enough. Hurry up. Come on. Feel the fear, the anxiousness, the restlessness, the guilt, the squirminess, the uncomfortableness. And recognize that normally, what do you normally do when this comes? Do you get up and pace around? Do you run to the computer? Check your emails again? You do something, generally. What do you do? Maybe you numb out. Maybe you shut down. Maybe you go to the refrigerator. What can I eat? That'll shove this down, this discomfort in my stomach. This edginess. Let me see what I need to drink to get rid of this edginess. What do you normally do? Instead, stay lazy. And smile. Because before you is the slave driver in personified form. There, cracking the whip, ready to crack the whip, perhaps holding a whip in one hand. The slave driver. And you talk to the slave driver and you say, "Look, I've had it with you. I hired you to get things done, but all you've been doing is beating me up for years. Look, I want to be lazy. I want to relax. I just want to be right now. Just get off my case. Get off it. The slave driver says, no can do. You hired me to fulfill your young adult dreams. I won't leave until you finish the track. And then you realize you wanted the slave driver originally. You thought it was the key to your success. You thought its wisdom was useful and important. The wisdom of reducing your expectations, taking the safe choices. You say, no. I think I want you to go. I hired you, yes. But since I hired you, I can fire you too. I hereby fire you. It's time for you to resign. And if you don't resign, I'll fire you. It's time for you to retire, slave driver. I choose to be enough. I choose to be successful enough. I choose to be free, empowered, loving, and trusting. I choose to do that which gives me my passion. And I hereby relinquish all the visions and dreams and the forms therein of my youthful self and of that self who started upon the spiritual path and called upon you to keep me doing the practices over and over. I've had it. You're fired. The slave driver looks sad. You feel a flicker of guilt. Don't fall for it. I've just been trying to help you, says the slave driver. It's what you asked me to do. And you say to the slave driver, look, you've done a very good job. Absolutely a very good job. Bravo. Kudos to you. You did it. But here's a gold watch. And I have a nice retirement party for you. And we're going to praise your valuable and laudable service. And we're going to give you a great, great ceremony of celebration for your retirement. And you're going to have a wonderful golden parachute, a beautiful package of retirement. Your island, own island in the Caribbean with a mansion on it. Or perhaps you want a ranch in the most beautiful part of Montana. Whatever it is, you'll have enough for that to live in retirement forever, for the rest of my life. With servants, the whole thing. You don't have to lift a finger anymore. You deserve it. You did your job well. And so the slave driver hears this and says, okay. Okay. I guess you don't want me anymore. You feel that twinge of guilt and you ignore it. It's manipulating to kind of sneak back in there. The slave driver tries one more time. But what if you let me go? You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You feel a twinge of fear and then you realize it's just the slave driver trying to weasel back in there. Thank you for your concern, you tell the slave driver, and here we go. And immediately, The whole scene changes and you're in this wonderful party and everybody you've known in your whole life that you've worked with is there and everybody's toasting the slave driver. Farewell, farewell, happy retirement. Raising your glasses, shouting praise, maybe giving the slave driver a good roast. You give the slave driver a big check. The watch is there. Everybody's there. The slave driver says goodbye. Everybody says goodbye, shakes the hand, pats him on the back. Good job, well done. And the slave driver walks back out of your life. The door closes. And you find yourself all alone. All alone. How are you going to motivate yourself? You feel the kundalini tickling your root chakra. Bring that energy up into the second chakra and let it swell. The energy of passion in that chakra. Just let the energy of passion and motivation just fill up your second chakra. And let it just kind of start working in there. Just feel it moving around the second chakra. You might even get a little turned on, feel a little sensual. Your motivation starting to build in your second chakra. Juiced up by the root chakra kundalini. It's got some work to do in there. And we'll be doing some work with it. But for now, as that's happening, and just let it continue, bring yourself back to body consciousness. Gently, very gently open your eyes. And return. Now, the slave driver is gone. Feel the space in your energy field right now. Feel the space that was filled by the slave driver, by your false motivation. And feel the beginnings of your new motivation in your second chakra. And take a break. Take a 20-minute break. And we'll return to do more magic and more work with you. Farewell for now.